Greetings, adventurers. Today we're excited to introduce you to a new story, Dark Dice, a horror podcast that blurs the line between actual play and audio drama, where the story is determined by the roll of the dice. Six adventurers embark on a journey into the ruinous domain of the Nameless God. They will never be the same again. One of the players is not what they seem after a doppelganger, a creature that can assume the form and voice of whatever it kills, infiltrates the team. As the players are picked off and replaced one at a time, can they figure out who the monster is before it's too late? Can you? Here's a quick example of what our show sounds like.
The shambler with the jar of liquid inside of him.
Soren Arkwright let loose an arrow that cracked the glass, passing through the spine of the creature. The shambler still managed to maintain its forward momentum, but stumbled as it eagerly tried to bite and swipe at Soren, landing near his feet.
As Jeff Goldblum has now joined our cast, Dark Dice is available however you listen to podcasts.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Brian.
And I'm William.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons & Dragons, and today on the show we have...
Hello, I'm Robert Hartley. I'm a professional Dungeon Master and a full-time TTRPG player. I'm the DM from a comedy group called Viva La Dirt League. That's where people most know me from.
And today we're going to be talking about the Artificer, the Artillerist subclass.
Hey guys.
Hey everybody.
How you guys doing today?
Good.
Welcome Rob to the show. We're very happy to have you on.
Thank you.
And today you are the resident expert on this subclass. I have very little like practical experience with this subclass, but I am to understand that you have much practical experience with this subclass.
Oh yes. Yes, very much so. It is a very involved subclass, and I wish I'd known it before I agreed to run one. One of the group guys in the Viva La Dirt League campaign that's ongoing is playing an artillerist artificer. Artificer, or the many different
however you
want to
say
it. Hear
it
in places all over the world.
It doesn't seem to matter how you say it. Someone's going to be upset.
Somebody's always going to correct you on it.
It's true. As a matter of fact, it's not just that the Artillerist is an involved subclass. The entire class of the Artificer is very involved.
Yeah.
But let's get into it.
Sure, let's go.
So it is, as I've said before, the summer of the Artificer. And today we're covering my favorite of the three subclasses, the Artillerist. You want a gunslinger? You got it. You want explosives expert? You got it. You want an arcane cannoneer? You got it. This class gets all the utility and interesting mechanics of the Artificer with a lot of extra boom to top it off with. And we also have a special guest who has some level of experience and expertise on the subclass. So let's get into it. An artillerist specializes in using magic to hurl energy, projectiles, and explosions on the battlefield. This destructive power was valued by all the armies of the last war. As we know, this is a very Eberron-centric player option, and the last war is like crucial to the lore of Eberron.
Right, it kicks off the Eberron setting book.
Basically,
right?
Yes. Okay. Everything is set in the aftermath of that war.
The last one.
Not the one before.
Okay.
The absolutely last one.
Okay.
Now that the war is over, some members of this specialization have sought to build a more peaceful world by using their powers to fight the resurgence of strife in Corvair. So I imagine that as like bounty hunters, security forces, etc., etc. If you're running this in Eberron. So at level 3, which is when you take this class, the subclass, you get a tool proficiency immediately off the bat. When you adopt this specialization at third level, you gain proficiency with wood carver's tools. That's an interesting one.
Right.
If you already have this proficiency, you gain proficiency with one other type of artisan's tools of your choice. Now, why wood carver's tool? Am I missing something?
Yeah, it's because it's to do with wands. It used to be this artificer subclass in the, I think, the Unearthed Arcana days was like guns. And then a lot of people pushed back, being like, I don't want guns in my medieval. Get medieval guns out of this thing.
Right.
Despite the fact that a lot of the long swords and things that they're fine with using actually came about in history after the first flintlock rifles and things.
Right.
So historically speaking, their guns should be perfectly fine in medieval, but whatever. And so they changed it when they released it officially to be much more about wands than guns.
So we'd be out here carving wands.
Yeah, I think that's, I've always assumed that that's the case.
That tracks, okay.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to see woodcarver's tools listed specifically when the only other class I'm really familiar with doing that is the rogue with thieves tools.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Moving on, the Artillerist also gets some spells at level 3. You always have a certain spell prepared after you reach particular levels in this class, as shown in the Artillerist spells table. These spells count as Artificer spells for you, but they don't count against the number of Artificer spells that you prepare. And these spells are as follows. At 3rd level, you get Shield and Thunder Wave. 5th level, Scorching Ray and Shatter. 9th level, Fireball, Windwall. 13th level, Ice Storm and Wall of Fire. And 17th level, Cone of Cold and Wall of Force. Now, it's been a while since I read the entire class of the Artificer, but if I remember correctly, don't they specifically say that you're kind of supposed to or intended to reflavor your spells as inventions or gadgets?
Yes.
Or am I misremembering?
Yeah, that's right. That's right? That's exactly right. Yeah, they say that for the Artificer, they don't really cast spells so much as unlock magic in objects and items. Right. So they're meant to be an item class that uses all sorts of
right.
magic
okay,
items.
Right. Okay, that's what. Some of these are some real hard hitting spells. Some heavy wizard spells. Do you have any examples from your artillery? So what types of reflavorings your artillery
yeah,
is doing?
Yeah. So I always ask him, like, so what are you using to cast this spell? So in a one shot we did, he cast Featherfall on someone, and he just cast it as like he just had a huge pillow, and he just threw a pillow at them, and they just landed on this massive cushion. And then other times I asked him, like, how does he cast Cure Wounds? And he decided that it's like a magic bucket that just fills up with water, and he throws it at them, and it sloshes over them.
Nice.
And kills them.
I like it.
That's cool. There's a running joke though that he's terrible at coming up with something on the spot when I put him on the spot about it, because I asked him, like, he said he tinkered with something that covered up a bad smell, like there was some bad smell in his shop, and so I says, what is it you're tinkering with to do that? And he goes, a screwdriver. I was like,
it seems like he defaults to mundane objects.
Yeah, could have been anything. Could have been like a Glade plugin, but it's like, no, a screwdriver that smells interesting.
All right, a smell driver. All right. Here comes the big one for level 3, Eldritch Cannon. At 3rd level, you learn how to create a magical cannon. Using woodcarver's tools or smith's tools, you could take an action to magically create a small or tiny Eldritch Cannon in an unoccupied space on a horizontal surface within 5 feet of you. A small Eldritch Cannon occupies its space, and a tiny one can be held in one hand. Once you create a cannon, you can't do so again until you finish a long rest or until you expend a spell slot to create one. You can have only one cannon at a time and can't create one while your cannon is present. The cannon is a magical object. Regardless of size, the cannon has an AC of 18 and a number of hit points equal to 5 times your artificer level. It is immune to poison damage and psychic damage, which makes sense. It's an inanimate object. If it is forced to make an ability check or saving throw, treat all its ability scores as 10 or a plus 0. If the mending spell is cast on it, it regains 2d6 hit points. It disappears if it's reduced to 0 hit points, or after 1 hour, you can dismiss it early as an action. When you create the cannon, you determine its appearance and whether it has legs. You can also decide which type it is, choosing from the options on the Eldritch Cannon's table. On each of your turns, you can take a bonus action, cause the cannon to activate if you are within 60 feet of it. As part of the same bonus action, you can direct the cannon to walk or climb up to 15 feet to an unoccupied space, provided it has legs. And the super cool options, you get 3 for your Eldritch Cannon. Number 1, Flamethrower. The cannon excels fire in an adjacent 15-foot cone that you designate. Each creature in that area must make a dex save against your spell DC, taking 2d8 fire damage on a failed save or half as much on a successful one. The fire ignites any flammable objects in the area that aren't being worn or carried. Number 2, Force Ballista. Make a ranged spell attack, originating from the cannon, at one creature or object within 120 feet of it. On a hit, the target takes 2d8 force damage, and if the target is a creature, it is pushed 5 feet away. Finally, Protector. The cannon emits a burst of positive energy that grants itself and each creature of your choice within 10 feet of it a number of temporary hit points equal to 1d8 plus your intelligence modifier. So we got some serious utility here, guys.
Can we talk about cannon legs?
Yes, we could talk about the cannon legs. This thing walks.
But you can just decide it doesn't.
Yes, because the idea flavor-wise is that they wanted you to be able to choose, do you want a handheld pistol, so that the people who still want, I want a gun, then they can flavor it as, I'm going to make a gun and just have it as a tiny object I can hold in my hand. In which case it'd be weird for it to have legs sticking out the bottom of your handgun as well.
Yeah, I was gonna say why
theoretically you could do that. You could have a handgun that you can hold, you can carry it around, and then you could put it down and activate it and it could walk an extra 15 feet.
Yeah, but why not ever
twice as far?
Why not give it legs ever? Because, like, by extension, it's gonna have legs if you're carrying it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true.
So if
that's
you want to like mount it somewhere, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's, I think, the
if
idea.
It, if you want it the small version, but you want it to look like a cool turret that just stays there, then
I think a rat on your shoulder.
In that case, I would just give it really thick, strong legs that can grasp on to whatever it's.
Yeah, exactly, right? It's sure. Tripod turret legs actually can then move like spider.
But yeah, this thing can not only just walk, it can climb, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's cool. Okay, so yeah, we're pretty much always giving our cannon legs, as far as I can tell.
And so the artillerist pretty... in your game, is it he or she, sorry?
Does he
have a go-to?
Greg is the character's name. Oh yeah, he's got a go-to. He's got a flamethrower, and it's nice. And he calls it Poppy, and it's a mechanical sheep. his character comes from a comedy skit series called Epic NPC Man, and he's playing a Gaelic farmer in that series, and he's an NPC in a video game like World of Warcraft sort of thing. And so he's the one that people go to for quests, and one of his quests is always, "My sheep have run amok. Can you go and round them up for me, adventurer?" And so he flavored it when I asked him about it. He goes, "Oh, she's going to be a metal sheep with a cannon that comes out of her back like a robot."
That's awesome. I love it.
They create Poppy, and then there's a running joke that, like, it was, I think we were like 90 episodes into this campaign or something before he realized that he had a third option for the protector thing, because he was just like, flamethrower, bazooka, let's do it, boom, two.
Well, that's definitely what you think of when you think of the artillerist. You're thinking about offensive firepower.
Yeah.
How useful is the protector feature? It seems pretty limited with that 10-foot range.
10-foot range is the thing that limits it, but it's very useful because it can roll temporary hit points every round.
As a bonus action.
It rolls a D8 as your bonus action. Okay. And so, you can just keep rolling it until you've rolled that 8.
Yeah.
And then everybody within range of it, as long as you're willing to stay within 10 feet of it.
Right. And it has the legs, so it can move with you too.
Exactly. If you've got ranged people and wizards and things and sorcerers and spellcasters, then they can all just stand next to it and keep getting temporary hit points.
Mini cleric can walk around and heal people.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. All right. So the next feature you get for this subclass is at 5th level, and it's called Arcane Firearm. At 5th level, you know how to turn a wand, staff, or rod into an arcane firearm, a conduit for your destructive spells. When you finish a long rest, you can use woodcarver's tools to carve special sigils into a wand, staff, or rod, and thereby turn it into an arcane firearm. The sigils disappear from the object if you later carve them on different items. The sigils always last indefinitely. You can use your arcane firearm as a spellcasting focus for your artificer spells. When you cast an artificer spell through the firearm, roll a d8, and you get a bonus to one of the spell's damage rolls equal to the number rolled. Okay, so that's a little offensive power booster. And here are the uses of the woodcarver's tools.
Yeah, let me just carve my gun or my wand into a gun real quick.
Yeah, all right. I get the impression of like when people carve a shiv out of soap or something.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
You lock up the artificer in prison or something, but he's got access to his woodcarver's tools and a lump of wood. You manage to Shawshank it and just be like, "Can I just get some woodcarver's tools? I swear I'm gonna." And then you give him woodcarver's tools. He just looks around himself, quickly carves this lump of wood into a wand, and then blasts his way out of there.
Hell yeah!
Thanks, prison guard. I was so bored. Bang bang.
Nice. Oh, that's a really cool class feature. So moving on, at level 9, we get the next one, explosive cannon. So this is big boost to that cannon from earlier.
This is when your story just like. Climaxing, you know.
Absolutely. Starting at 9th level, every Eldritch cannon you create is more destructive. The cannon's damage rolls all increase by 1d8. As an action, you can command the cannon to detonate if you are within 60 feet of it. Doing so destroys the cannon and forces each creature within 20 feet of it to make a dex save against your spell save DC, taking 3d8 force damage on a failed save or half as much damage on a successful one. So this is great if your cannon has caused enough ire to the enemy to deserve their focus. The second it's about to go down, you just make it explode.
Yeah, that's the great thing about this one, because like with its huge AC and its pretty decent hit points and the fact that it's not really a sentient thing that can take actions of its own, you're not really going to be focusing on it all that often as a GM. But if it is like, man, that temporary hit points every round is really kicking my ass, I better take it down. You whittle it down to almost dead, and then the guy's like, right, 15 feet forwards into the enemy line, and then boom.
That's explode. Crazy.
Yeah, 3d8 is nothing to sneeze at.
I love this class.
It's good. It's good.
It really shows, though, with this 9th level feature having nothing to do with the protector option of the cannon, that they're really focusing on the firepower, and they're like, it doesn't increase the temporary hit points.
You're right.
I was going to say
all of their damage stuff.
could you heal your enemy and trick them into thinking this is like a sauna, like a hot spa, and then draw everybody in and like only heal one person
absolutely.
Once?
Absolutely.
Yeah, temporary hit points.
You absolutely could.
Accidentally give them temporary hit points. That's everybody so get funny. Come gather around.
Okay, guys, this thing's healing me. Come over here.
It feels so good.
That's great.
Neat. Okay,
no,
that's a fun
too,
thing.
No, don't put too much water on the coals. It gets to boom.
I'm into it.
You do raise a good point, though, Rob. The increase is specifically to the damage, not the healing. And maybe that's by design because, like you said, a bonus action giving temporary HP every single round is already powerful enough. It doesn't need more.
Yeah, I'd definitely not increase it to like 2d8, but like an increase from 1d8 to 1d10 would be an average of an extra one temporary point, and it would at least flavor that I everything about the cannon is getting better.
I'm surprised there's no plus con or something like that, you know, attached to it, or proficiency to the heal.
Plus your plus your intelligence being that you're an
intelligence class. I can see that as
right.
Well,
considering the way they build classes now after Tasha's, you know, staggering everything with proficiency bonus seems to kind of lightly scale things up in a more positive way.
It's funny that you bring that up because that was the initial idea of the proficiency bonus in the first place, was to keep everything anchored and scaled together.
Yeah.
And they just weren't utilizing it fully until they were like, wait a minute, we built this awesome thing. We should use it more.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Final feature. Fortified position. You get this at level 15. You're a master at forming well-defended emplacements using Eldritch Cannon. You and your allies have half cover while within 10 feet of a cannon you create with Eldritch Cannon as a result of a shimmering field of magical protection that the cannon emanates. You can now have two cannons at the same time. You can create two cannons with the same action but not the same spell slot, and you can activate both of them with the same bonus action. Jesus. You determine whether the cannons are identical to each other or different. You can't create a third cannon while you have two. So you can have a healing cannon plus a flamethrower. You can have two heals. You have two flamethrowers. They're all boosting everyone's AC with this half cover. That's excellent.
Yeah, this is a really cool. I like the cannon, especially having legs. Like, you can give one like stilettos and like really nice calves.
Absolutely.
Just confuse your audience, especially if you're in like, you're fighting in mechanists with all the mod runs around, and you just create a little sexy rope. Do a little Lola bunny on the mod runs.
Guys, absolutely. Guys, this highly sexualized cannon is healing me.
Come gather around.
That's hilarious.
You got a succubus and an incubus, mate. Two cannons.
Is there anything, any comment, questions, concerns that you want to add to this subclass before we take this well-deserved short rest?
No, I think we've pretty much covered it. It's all about creating cannons, baby.
Indeed.
That's right. Yeah, I'm ready for short time.
All right, let's take a quick short rest. Shout out to Demon Gorgon.
Hey folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know the monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms, to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast.
We've returned.
Indeed we have. Rob, why don't you tell our audience a little bit about yourself?
I'd be happy to. Thank you very much. So I'm Robert Hartley. I've been a fan of you guys for a long time now, years. And I've been a professional dungeon master for a long time as well. I've been playing Dungeons and Dragons for a living, which is still bizarre for me to say, even though I've been saying it for 2 years. I'm the dungeon master for a comedy group called Viva La Dirt League on YouTube. Their main channel is for comedy skits. And as I kind of mentioned before, they have one that's about sentient NPCs in a video game. And what they would experience from their perspective as the adventurers come up and stab each other in front of them and just die in the middle of the shop, or like pawn off all of their garbage to them after a quest, all that sort of comedy skits. And then because it was set in this sort of fantasy world, a mutual friend of ours said, I think Dungeons and Dragons kind of would fit your style of comedy.
Right, that makes sense.
And so they got me involved and started playing. The people who loved it really loved it, but because it wasn't exactly their 3-minute skit comedy format, the other people that were there for that kind of content went, not really for us. So we branched off into our own separate channel and got just like all of the people who really wanted to see it avid right. about it. So we have a second channel now. And they're both going very well. I think their main channel's somewhere around 3 million subscribers or something.
Nice.
And the D&D channel's now up to about 300,000 or something.
Fantastic!
Yes,
congratulations!
Yes,
congrats!
It's going really well. We're really enjoying it. And the campaign has just about to hit episode 100. But nice. the sort of point of difference for us is that we keep things at 1 half-hour content every week. So rather than having to catch up on an actual play of 4 hours of episodic things every week and falling behind. Mm-hmm. With this one, it's kind of more comedy based. And so it's got that comedy format of half hour digestible chunks.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, that's really nice.
Yeah, it's really fun. I've been running campaigns for them for a while now. We started off with a sponsored thing from Wizards of the Coast, doing Descent into Avernus, where they said, hey, we're coming out with this new hell based campaign module. Would you run a game of it to advertise it? And we were like, sure. How many episodes do you want? And they were like, maybe like eight half-hour episodes. I was like, okay, cool. What part of the campaign do you want? And they were like, all of it. I was like, in 8 half-hour episodes, you want me to run the entire Descent into Avernus? And they were like, yeah. And I was like, okay, let's do this. And so I compressed the entirety of Descent into Avernus into like a 6-hour table session.
Holy
and
crap.
Then we chopped it up.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a very heavily railroad, I can tell you that
yeah,
much.
It's
I was like, right, the next thing, move on. And you've done the thing and he's given you the box. You take the box to the guy, go.
Yeah, no, that's still impressive though. 6 hours? Hell yeah, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, man, it was a lot of fun. But yeah, then we branched off and I started homebrewing the rest of this campaign that's ongoing.
Cool.
So that's what I'm most known for. I'm also a DM in my own right on Twitch and YouTube doing D&D adjacent things. I run an interactive game of D&D on my Twitch channel where I'm the dungeon master and everybody else is only played by the chat.
Wow.
It is an entirely interactive thing where the chat control as a hive mind collective the actions of the one main character.
That's really cool.
I love that.
That's really cool.
it's a way that I found a lot of people saying, like, oh, I really want to get into D&D, but there's no one around my area that to play with, and blah, blah, blah. So they can
come join the hive mind.
Yeah, come join
That's
the
awesome.
Hive mind.
That's cool.
Awesome. That reminds me of Pokemon Let's Plays.
Yeah,
where the chat
that's exactly
controls
what it
what
reminded
the
me of.
Avatar does.
Yeah. That's neat. A really cool idea. All right, well, links will be in the description. Everyone go check out Robert's stuff.
You know, it's funny. Really cool. I have a quick story because I actually discovered Viva La Dirt League like maybe 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
A buddy of mine at work was like, hey, man, there's these guys making like really cool D&D content on Instagram. You should check them out. He sent it to me. I was like, I need to up my camera game. These guys are doing it.
Yeah, we got like a 5-camera setup at the moment.
Yeah,
so we just upgraded to a 3-camera setup.
Yeah, and it's all inspired by you. I'm like, oh, I can do better. If I can get like halfway to what these guys are doing, we'll be in good shape. So yeah, it's really good stuff, man. I'm happy
Thank
to
you.
Have found it.
Yeah.
So
everyone
cool
go
to
check
have
it
you
out.
On.
Also, I think I'm scheduled to be on your Twitch channel on the 23rd.
Yes. Yeah. So on my Twitch channel, I run D&D adjacent things, reading the books and running the Twitch Tales campaign and things. But one of the things is a series I called Short Rest, where I just chat with people from the community. And you guys, I don't know if both of you are able to make it, but well, at the very least, you're going to be coming on Short Rest.
I will definitely be there. I think Brian's going to be on vacation.
I'm going to be on vacation, but I would love to come on some other time, definitely.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we'll make it
Sounds
it
Sounds good. And we'll let everyone listening know more about that when we get closer to it.
Yeah, definitely. Should we get into this particular artificer?
Yeah,
so been hinting
us
at all
episode. About the infamous Greg.
Yes, so Greg the Garlic Farmer. He is the eponymous epic NPC man of the series. And he is when it came time to doing this campaign set in that world, I said, like, all right, do we want to play completely new characters, in which case you don't feel tied to existing lore about them, or do you want to play the existing characters because you've got the audience for it and people want to see them in a D&D scenario? They chose for that option, but it did mean that our hands were a little bit tied in what they could play. Because he is an NPC Gaelic farmer and a shop merchant and in the series, I was like, what class? He can't be a wizard. I can't make him a barbarian. He's not. Doesn't make sense for him to be this or this or this. So when we first started, I was like, I guess being a shopkeeper, he's got access to a lot of items and magic items maybe, and he can cast spells through that. So I'll use the Artificer. So I asked wizards at the time, because as I say, it was around the time of Descent into Avernus. And so they didn't have the Eberron thing out yet. So I said, like, hey, there's this Artificer class. Am I cool to use that instead? And they were like, yeah, okay. So I made him the armorer at the time and gave him like a an animal companion or like a robot animal companion. Mm-hmm. But then when we started this homebrew thing, the Eberron stuff was officially out. And I was like, I gave him the options. Here are your four subclasses that you've got. He just went, I think he just read as far as canon and went, yep.
Yeah.
I'll have a flamethrower, please. Yes, please. So he chose Artillerist, and neither of us knew at the time how damn involved this class is and how much work it is to understand. And he's, before my game with him, he does not know D&D.
Right, he's a newbie.
He's a newbie to it. And so it's very overwhelming by the time he's now level 9. There's just so much to remember and think about.
Moving parts.
Level, yeah.
Because they've not only got the all of the canon stuff and the wand stuff, but they've got all of the infusions that artificers have, and they've got all the different spells that they have, and they can prepare every morning and change them up.
Yep.
And then he's got his magic items that he just happens to pick up as loot on the way as well, which confuses him. Because like I'm like, oh, you can only turn on half of your magic items at a time. That's how infusions work. Oh. So I don't have my wand of magic missiles. Oh no, that was a thing that you just picked him in loot. So you do have that one.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
You don't have your jug. You do have this.
Yeah.
So he, as I say, he flavored it as Poppy, his sheep, is his companion turret that he creates under any particular circumstance. He's just like flamethrower, and it took me a good like 5 episodes or so. About 5 table sessions, so about 80 episodes or so before I was like. You know, you can protect with them. You can give temporary hit points. And we made a whole thing of it. Because one of the things that we do is when we film at the table session and then we go back and chop in green screen footage of us like acting out things that happened at the table, like in character and costume. And so there's a whole thing that we kind of cut away to a green screen of him standing there listening to this guy giving an inspirational speech for 10 minutes of temporary hit points at the end of it. And then at the end of it, he goes, right, Poppy, temporary hit points. And then she gives she does it on, as a bonus action rather than 10 minute speech.
That's great. Yeah, have you ever managed to take out his cannon, by the way?
No, I never really focus on it because I know that if I did kill Poppy, I'd get death threats. There'd be thousands of people in the comments that would much rather see Greg die than Poppy, even though she's an inanimate, she's an animate object and mm-hmm. can be recast again for the sake of a spell slot.
Right.
People would be like, no, you killed Poppy, how dare you?
That's so funny.
Because he went and made her an adorable sheep. Right. How dare he?
That's a part of the team.
Indeed.
I was just checking my things here because I thought I had him in front of me, but I think the other guy's keeping hold of him. I've got Hero Forge minis of all the different NPCs from that campaign, and I have one of him holding a Gatling gun from when he turns her into a mini handheld version of her.
He goes handheld sometimes.
Occasionally, yeah. Once I pointed that out to him after like 70 episodes, I was like, you know that she doesn't have to be a sheep every time.
That's too funny.
Like, now, kind of locked
can
in.
I make her a gun? And so I said, yeah, you can make her a gun. He's like, can I make her like a Gatling gun? And I was like, yeah, but I mean, we'll flavor it as the damage still just like firing off like a Gatling gun, but you'll still only be doing one attack per round. Right. He's like, yeah.
So besides Poppy the sheep, does he have any like standout spells, go-to cantrips, like anything signature that he does?
His cure wounds with a bucket is definitely the thing he goes to as well. His magic bucket of healing water.
I love it.
And it's particularly iconic because he notoriously rolls badly on healing every time. He is the party healer, which being an artillerist is not the best if you're depending on that guy to heal you.
Yeah.
But he's the only one with any curing at all. So he spends his spell slots on cure wounds. Runs up to them, throws a bucket of water on them and misses and gets like a one on his healing roll. And so then of course that gives us fun cutaways in the green screen of him like running up and missing somebody.
So good.
And then the person
that's
who needs
so
the
good.
Healing just kind of looks down, looks back up at him, bends down and just like wipes their hand in the puddle and they're like, thanks, Greg. Really appreciate you, man.
That's great. That's fantastic.
Yeah, good stuff. And then his tinkering with random objects and I ask him what are you tinkering with to make this noise? Because the artificers have also got that magical tinkering thing they can do where they can interact with a tiny object to make it emit a sound or a smell or something.
Yeah.
And one time they were trying to persuade they were trying to bribe off like a thieves guild guard and they said like, oh, he said, oh, if you give me 2000 gold, I'll do it. And they had like 20 gold between them. So he goes, oh, I'm going to get out this bag of gold. And then one of them cast a mind illusion of a bag of gold. And I says, you know, you can't make sound with it. And so he quickly got out like a pebble and tinkered with it to say, I'm a bag of gold. I was like, not the sound I was expecting, but sure.
Here's a question. Did it work?
It did not. No.
Oh man!
It worked in so much as they didn't get murdered by the thieves guild. They found it funny, rather than cheeky.
So at level 9, what are these dudes facing at level 9? What's going on in the campaign?
Going on at the campaign at the moment is they're dealing with a hags guild because the Wizards of the Coast guys got in touch and said, do you want to sponsor Wild Beyond the Witchlight, the fairy one?
Right.
And we were like, sure, what do I need to include? I'm not doing the whole campaign. This is a homebrew thing. Mm-hmm. And they said, yeah, we just need the hag coven from that, the hourglass coven that are all about past, present, and future. So I included those three. I included a couple other characters from that campaign. And basically these guys are going through and fighting those three hags at the moment.
Freaking cool.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
That's cool.
Power things hags. Too, because originally when the Wizards of the Coast got in touch, it was before Wild came out. And they said, do you mind including this and this? And I said no, but like send me the stats for them. And they were like, we haven't really finished the stats for them yet. So you can make them up. So I started making up my own hags with past, present, and future abilities. The hag of the past, is she here? Yeah, she's here, this little frog-like lady. It's not going to be good for an audio podcast, but I'm sure enough my Hero Forge mini. She's like,
well, we have a YouTube channel too, so they can see it.
True. So she had abilities like She's the hag of the present, and so her abilities were things like, I'm thinking the same thing, and as a reaction when somebody does an action, she can do the exact same action with using the same roles and stuff as it's happening in the same present moment and stuff. And then the hag of the past that they've just killed, she had abilities like, I remember things differently, where she can force you to re-roll an attack.
Oh, she can like retroactively.
So I had a lot of fun coming up with past, present, and future abilities for these hags. And then the Wild came out, and I was like, man, this is kind of a lacking stat. They've just got like claw and bite attacks and stuff. And they right. don't really have anything Wizards exciting. Is...
Yeah.
Yeah, this is homogenized stat blocks sometimes a little bit.
Yes, a little too much.
So I was like, I'm just going to keep using mine.
Mine are better.
Mine are better.
No, that's cool. That sounds awesome. All right, well, I think that covers it for the Artillerist.
Yeah, I'm looking at I was looking at the regular Artificer stuff. We've pretty much covered like most of the stuff on there. So, yeah I think that was really cool. I like
Thanks
Greg's
for sharing,
character.
Man.
Yeah, he's a fun character, and people should definitely go check him out. And they should check him out while he lasts, because unfortunately he's never going to get to the 15th level fortified position feature, because I'm not announcing that I'm killing him. I am announcing, however, that the player has come to me out of game and said, like, this is getting too overwhelming. I've got a bunch of like cards and things for him. I've got these like spell cards and stuff, and and one of the fans has made us like homebrewed some cards that'll remind us what they can do,
right?
And he's got an entire deck of cards in front of him spread on the table about all the different features and all the different items he has and stuff. And he said, I'm finding that it's more anxiety inducing than fun.
I can totally understand that.
So in the next table session, I'm reclassing him. I'm just going to say, hey, you want to lean into healer? And I went through all the different subclasses in the game, and I said, here are all of the subclasses ranked by how good they are at healing. Let's talk about what you want to become.
Yeah, cleric, bard, et cetera, et cetera.
Scaling back. I mean, like, it's hard. It's a little bit of a skill wall for new players to go into casting in general, tackle the Artificer with its own special set. Like, it's casting and this whole other piece of building.
Yeah. It's definitely not the class you want to be your first class.
No, it's highlighted by the fact that he sits right next to the barbarian at the table. who has four things he can do on his turn.
Oh, man. That's too
funny.
And he's got four cards sitting in front of him. Rage, frenzy, whatever. And he's like, okay, we've joked before that Rowan could be replaced by a soundboard. When I'm like, right, Rowan, it's your turn. And he goes, frenzy, rage, attack.
Nice.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, that tracks.
Alan looks across and goes, I want that. I want something that I don't have to worry
something
about.
Something straightforward.
I know, especially when you're on camera and you're getting recorded. Like, the extra pressure that adds to being able to handle this as a new player. Yeah, I could see why it was a good decision to jump out.
Yeah,
because at the end of the day, it's about important. It's about fun. Like, if the players aren't having fun, then nothing's sacred. You can take all of the levels away from them and give them levels in something else.
Nothing's
stopping you. You're an omnipotent god at the table. You can do whatever you want. 100% like, you can bend the rules, break the rules, ignore the rules.
If fun your first.
And not having fun. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Agreed.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you guys want to catch Greg the Artillerist, go check out Robert Hartley's stuff right now before it's too late. Links in the description. Thank you, Robert, for coming on the show. You've been excellent, man.
Thank you very much for having me, and I look forward to
come on your show
with you
as well.
More on short rest, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys, with that, I think we're going to take a long rest.
Shout out to Demogorgon, oh yeah!
Hey, everybody, welcome to the long rest. This is the part of the show where we do that one thing where we're gonna get ready to rest for a long time. It's just Brian here. We got caught up talking to Rob at the end of the episode. We forgot to do the long rest. We just jumped into recording the next episode. But thanks a whole bunch to Robert Hartley for coming on the show. That was a really great and fun interview. I love talking about that subclass, but we're not here to talk about that right now. We're here to talk about you. Thank you so much for listening to the show. We really appreciate it, and we love you. If you want to support us, you can check us out on patreon.com/thedungeoncast, where you can get episodes of this show 1 week early, ad-free, and a bunch of other stuff. But if you can't support us monetarily, totally okay. We totally understand. What you could do is go to it's not the iTunes store anymore. It's Apple Podcasts. Go there. Leave a review. And if you're on Spotify, go there and leave a review. You're there now, aren't you? Do it, coward. I'm just kidding. You're not a coward. You're super brave. But yeah, or you can check out our Discord or our social media accounts or anything. If you want to buy some merch, we have a link for a merch store down below. If you want to send some sweet mail, I'll read it on the show to the PO box that is also listed in the notes below. Lots of cool stuff in the notes below. But yeah, thanks for listening once again. We'll catch you next time. We're going to call it a game. Bye.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.